Hello, this is Jason, and I hope you're doing well. This is just a video on unbelief, because I wanted to explain how I was raised a certain way and changed when I got older. You know, some people change. You know, I think it's important as you learn more and you have more information that you revise what you think and what you believe. That's what science does. I think that's what intelligent people do as well. So I became a Christian when I was a very little kid at age 7. I can barely remember my parents' house and when and where I did it. And my parents are both very devout, serious, fundamentalist, conservative Christians, Baptists. And so that's how I was raised. I went to Christian schools, grades 1 through 12. And I ran into a little trouble in high school. I ended up getting thrown out of my Christian school twice. And I graduated from the public high school. Nothing too bad. You know, one time it was just an accumulation of referrals. And one time it was sleeping with my girlfriend and going to a party where there was beer. And that all that was against the rules at the Christian school. And I did the same stuff at the public school, just like everybody else did. And the principal didn't even know my name there. And I liked it. It was fun. And I had twice as many friends. After high school, I went to San Diego State University. That was my number one choice, really. The only school I applied to and wanted to go to. You know, I took the SATs and I got in. The first year, I lived there in the dorms just to get the feeling of the campus, even though my parents lived about maybe 20 minutes away. And then I got an apartment with a roommate I met in the dorms. At 20 years old, I got a DUI. I was driving home from my fraternity house. It was only about a mile, but they pulled me over, and that turned into like a real big religious experience and awakening sort of thing for me. My parents urged me to get back into Christianity and go to the church again and Bible studies, so I stopped hanging around my party friends, and I just filled my life with Bible studies and church services, and I literally went like 5-6 days a week to different services and churches nearby and not so nearby sometimes. Just went from one extreme to the other. Now, when I graduated college, I was still on that religious path, and I visited a bunch of seminaries across the country on a trip, and there were some of the biggest ones. I found them in the backs of the books that I was reading. They were listed, like, when they had an author and it said which college they went to. I figured, well, that must be a good one. I got the book and I liked the author. And so I picked, you know, one in some very conservative ones. You know, one in Kentucky, one in Pennsylvania, one in South Carolina, one in Virginia. I ended up choosing the one in Virginia, and they chose me as well. That's the only one I applied to, and they accepted me at Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary in Lynchburg, Virginia. So I moved out there in 1997, and the first semester I made the dean's list. I got over a 3.0, but I ended up getting thrown out of there as well. I met this girl that I liked, and they caught me. They heard that I slept with her, and that was against the rules, and so they threw me out. Now, I directed a Christian nonprofit from 1997 to 2008, roughly. Maybe a little longer than 2008, maybe more like 2010 or so. And I sent weekly devotional messages for over 10 years. And they were just topical with a short prayer and a couple of verses. And I even did audio devotional messages for a couple of those years, too. And I recorded a devotional with it. I put them online and emailed them. And that website's no longer available or online. But that was a Christian ministry that I started and I did. Paid very little money. Paid nothing, really. But sometimes people sent donations, or I sold some ads on the website, and I started writing some books, and so sometimes I would make some book sales. I also did some debates and might have earned an honorarium or two here or there. I played in some worship bands and taught private lessons, and I rented an office from a church that actually kind of worked like the Universal Studios effect, you know, because I got to see what it was really like at the church, you know, behind the scenes, because I was always there, and it was a little, it took the magic out of it, just like Uni Studios, you know, growing up in a mega church at Shadow Mountain Community Church in El Cajon. I didn't work for the church. I didn't know what happened backstage and everywhere, and I figured they were kind of superhuman. And then, you know, I went to this Calvary Baptist Church in Linda Vista, and I'm renting an office and seeing how everything is run and going, wow, this is, I didn't know it was like this. So I ended up marrying a Christian girl that I met at a Christian musical festival called Spirit West Coast up in Monterey, California. And it turned into a disaster. It was a huge trial in my life. And I found out that, you know, the biblical principles didn't work. And, you know, both of us had said that we didn't believe in divorce, but she wanted a divorce eventually, and I eventually gave in. Now, I had prayed for intangibles, and I think those things might have helped me, you know, just in my personal walk and personal life, you know, because I didn't pray for things like tangible things hardly ever, you know, money, cars, stuff, but I prayed for like what they call the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, love, and I sought those things. So those qualities, I think that I, since I pursued them, I think I got them. Now, I wouldn't attribute it to a Holy Spirit or anything magical or mystical per se, and now that I see things differently. I also became a medical marijuana patient around 2006 and got recommendations for doctors every year for until like 2012 or 2013. Or 2014, it might have been my last one. And because I sustained a bad back injury playing Pop Warner football, and I get muscle spasms, and so it helps. My back's hurting right now, actually. It feels bad. But so that was an interesting thing, because it, in a sense, it drove a wedge between me and my conservative Christian wife, and I think she was looking for a way out after the from the very start, almost. I think she thought she made a big mistake. She had never dated anybody before, never moved away from her parents before, and suddenly she was being tried and tested in brand new ways. And she got pregnant on the honeymoon, and we had a child early, and she was only 20. So all these things on her made it very difficult. And, you know, the medical marijuana, I got the... About midway through the marriage is when I got the recommendation and started using that at home. And man, it severely helped me to let go of fights and arguments and things like that. It was just fantastic for maintaining self-control, you know. She might have made a case before that I was a controlling person or something, because she left to see her family all the time that lived 2 or 3 hours away. And or whatever, you know, and maybe I was at first, or maybe I was trying to show her I cared, but after I got the recommendation, it was just very zen, you know. She could be yelling, screaming, going crazy, and it wouldn't affect me. So the marijuana did not only help my physical condition, but helped me also get along better with her, which I don't think she actually liked very much. I think she was trying to end it, trying to sabotage it, and, you know, turning up the heat slowly but surely to try to get out of it and try to make me want to divorce her. So we saw numerous Christian marriage counselors and even a non-religious one, and it didn't help. I earned a Master of Arts and a PhD in Biblical Studies while we were married, mainly for personal enrichment. I thought, you know, it could help my career, but I didn't think it would help me really get hired by somebody else per se, unless maybe I taught Bible, but I thought it might help my ministry work and help me understand the Bible more and help me just get closer to the biblical God more. Now, about 2 years after I finally gave in and agreed to the divorce, the feds raided our home and destroyed everything while we were growing medical marijuana. And we were doing it legally as well. We had 50 legal patients in California, and all we had was plants, no weapons, only a few ounces of weed, no money. I don't know what they expected to see there, you know, bringing four departments of the government to come in and take our child. But it was a huge, huge disaster. It just changed everything and destroyed everything. And while we were in jail, Christians broke into my home and stole my things, believe it or not. Instead of visiting me in jail, like the Bible says, don't forget the prisoners, these people actually broke into my home and stole my things. And I have a hunch that several different Christians did it, but I know for a fact that one of them did, because she was actually caught and nothing happened to her. It was just a slap on the wrist, because she was a drummer at the rock church, and she stole my guitar and sold it to a local pawn shop down the street, and a great police officer did some work and recovered it, and I was able to get it back. But you know, she even had the gall to take me and my former wife out to a bar after we got out of jail, after she stole our stuff, my stuff. And she apparently was related to Darren Carrington at the Rock Church. And I tweeted the Rock Church and Miles McPherson, and I wanted to, and I hoped they would care enough to say something or respond, and they didn't. And I went there and tithed and sat there and took great notes for years. I even was at his church at Horizon Christian Fellowship before he even went to the Rock Church. Nobody at any of the churches or schools that I attended cared to help in any way. And I had worked hard for peanuts for a long time in ministry also. Everybody disappeared. And so by myself, fighting four felonies and custody of my daughter, I started rethinking Christianity and who Jesus was. You know, I didn't see Jesus in these people, that's for sure. My in-laws were supposed to be Christians, and they condemned me. They said I put their daughter in danger, and they said I was no longer their son and no longer welcome in their home anymore. And so I was shocked. You know, that was their strong point, I thought, you know, being Christians. And they said I'll always be welcome in their home. And they called me their son and said I was family. I guess they were Armenian, Lebanese, Palestinian immigrants. And I just couldn't believe they did that to me. I had looked up to them. You know, all these people, when it all went down and it turned into a crazy custody battle, and I had court cases in two different courts, the criminal court and then the child court. And, you know, it's a horrible situation with criminal charges and fighting for your child. And so I was able to, I fought it for an entire year. And they dropped the four felonies down to one felony, and then they eventually dropped it down to one misdemeanor on the day of the trial. And I said, fine, I'll take it, I'm out of here. Because it meant no jail time, and it meant no drug charge on my record. But the bad part was that they took my teaching credential because of it, and I got 10% custody of my child, and a misdemeanor in child endangerment. And all of those things were total and complete nonsense. And now I don't even think it's a good place to raise a child anymore in California. And I don't trust anybody, especially not the government. And I'll never, ever trust anybody ever again. So when it comes to Jesus, you know, after a year of fighting and I lost and I decided to live on the street, in 2012. If you want to see my series, I did a 10-part series recently called My Journey 2012 to 2020, and it's about living on the street. I came to the conclusion that Jesus was not God, and he did not claim to be God, and he was not the Jewish Messiah. Now, I say that the Jews rejected Jesus' godhood, and so do I. And I trust them more than Christians, you know. Think about it. These people wrote the Old Testament. They were looking for a deliverer, a Messiah, the Mashiach Najid. And they looked at Jesus and said, nope, he's not the guy. So, you know, that was the first step I took when I stopped being a Christian and stopped. Because anybody can have faith. You can't just strip away faith. You know, you either have it or you don't. It's a choice. But as who you think Jesus is the central issue in Christianity. And so stopping thinking that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, God in the flesh, made me understand a little bit more what the Jews are thinking about and how they see Jesus and what they're looking for now, and Christianity as a whole. You know, I see no difference between Christianity and a cult. When I was a Christian, they said Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses were cultists, but I think they're all a cult of Judaism. Now, living on the street has taught me a lot about people in the Bible, and I think Christians are horrible people that pollute all the time, they kill to eat, they don't care about others, and they're indistinguishable from unbelievers. Some of them are generous, some of them have some good qualities, but everything I just said is 100% true. None of them live like Jesus, not even close. 21st American fundamentalist Christianity is sad. It's a real pathetic snapshot of Christianity. I wonder what it was like before. Because, you know, in the first century, the Christians met in people's homes, and they met outside. You know, they didn't meet in megachurches. You know, Jesus was a first century Jewish houseless man that ate organic food, lived outside, didn't care about money, didn't worry about jobs. You know, and Americans are pretty much the opposite. You know, what they're doing today is they're just picking and choosing parts of the way they think that Jesus was and trying to be like that person. They're not trying to repent from 100% of their sins. They're not keeping every thought captive. They're not loving people. You know, they're trying to conform the world into this book that they don't follow themselves. And frankly, the book is a horrible book. I think I believed because I trusted people that believed. But after I stopped trusting everyone, including them, I stopped believing, right? Because when you're really little, you look up to these people and think, wow, you know, they know more than I do. They've been around longer than I do. They must have more evidence than I do. I'll trust them that their faith is right. You do that with all kinds of facts and things. So that's what I did. Belief is essentially a choice, and I don't have any faith in anybody or anything. I'm a true skeptic. You know, unbelievers tell Christians that they just believe in one less God than they do. Right? Have you ever heard that? Christians will try to evangelize an atheist or something, and atheists will go, what? I just believe in one fewer God than you do, one less God. And I say, unbelievers just worship one less God than Christians. You know? When I stopped being a Christian and realized the environment was in serious trouble, I applied to the atheists to do something, to help. I saw them as the moral people, and they didn't even reply. They had no words at all. They are living the same kinds of lives with the same kinds of gods. They typically believe and trust all kinds of fools and lies. All of them. I've never tried to deceive anybody. I was deceived. So I understand that mindset. My mom only had a high school education. She grew up in a very small town in North Carolina. And she had naive faith like a child, and that's basically what I had. Now I feel great. I live in a fact-based world, no more myths, no more baggage, no more nonsense. I understand people that were deceived as a kid, but not as adults that get saved. They must have a weird reason. You know, I don't trust people that say they get saved as an adult. I think they have an ulterior motive. Maybe they're just afraid of death. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's business contacts they want. Maybe they're looking for a spouse. Maybe they're a government agent. You know, who knows? But I mean, I can understand a small child being deceived, but adults, I don't think, have any excuse. And religion in itself is antiquated and ridiculous. I think proselytizing a child is child abuse, and it's selfish. I also think, you know, they should knock it off. And if the once saved, always saved doctrine is true, and if the age of accountability doctrine is true, then they really have nothing to worry about, you know? What that means is until their child gets to a certain age, God doesn't condemn them to hell if they die. Like, you can't expect a 3-year-old to get saved. You can't expect a 5-year-old to get saved. Some people wonder what that age is. Some people say it's about 12. So if you're proselytizing children, you're doing it for somebody else. You're not doing it for God. You're doing it for you. The Bible is a horrible book. Genocide, incest, murder. People should not read the Bible, especially not every week. Kids shouldn't be taught the Bible. The Old Testament is an indictment, and Mary was a whore if you don't believe in the biblical God. If you don't believe in magic, you know, Mary got pregnant outside of marriage, ran off with another guy, left the country, came back, moved up into the northern part of Israel, you know, Nazareth, and then she had a child. When the child was 12 years old, they went to a temple in Jerusalem, and he ran away from them. He didn't want to be with them. When he got older, he was homeless. He didn't want to live with them. When his mom came in to visit him, he said, "I'm with my family. I'm not talking to you." So, I mean, that's Jesus. That's Jesus in the Bible. Now, I still think that God could exist. I just know that the biblical God is bullshit. There's no way that the biblical God exists. People that have faith aren't very smart. They are predictable, and they can get manipulated too. Now, I don't have a science background. I'm not going to get into why I think there might be a God. But, you know, a lot of America's founders made statements that indicate that they were Christians in their early life. And as they got older, they made statements that indicated they were a deist. And that makes perfect sense to me, you know. People are raised Christians, taught that's the truth. And then when they get older, they see God a little differently. And think, this doesn't sound right, what I've been taught. But I still think there might be a God. I still don't understand how everything got here and got this way. Maybe God did it. Maybe I should believe in the God of the gaps. You know, but it doesn't direct my life on a daily basis, per se. You know, I don't need a threat of hell to do the right thing. I don't need the promise of heaven to do the right thing, or avoid doing the wrong thing. Now, I think Christianity has turned into something it was never designed to be. Like, the first century church was way different than it is today. In fact, the word church in the Bible shouldn't even be in the Bible. The word is congregation. It's referring to people. The first century church had no concept of a church building where people went. And same thing with home. The word home shouldn't be in the Bible. If you look in the Greek and the Hebrew, both of those words, the word... the home is a mistranslation. It's a house. These people didn't associate with home being inside of a building. They didn't associate home with doing stuff outside and living, not inside of a building. You might not ever hear that, but you should do your own research. Look at blueletterbible.org if you want to study the Greek and the Hebrew, and you could do word searches and learn for yourself. I think pastors welcome defeated, failing zeros each week that never repent and die in their sins. There's no power, just weakness. I feel bad for people with faith. Religion is a crutch or maybe even a mental disorder. There's no need for it. America's founders changed from Christians to deists, and that sounds about right. Christianity ruins relationships, turns people into monsters. It's like a loaded gun. Now, I fasted for 40 days 3 times. And the best one, with absolutely no food, was after I stopped being a Christian in 2016, at the end of the year, when I had no faith at all. And I'm fasting right now. Today is day 14 of a 20-day fast. And it's going great. I was a biblical inerrantist and a young earth creationist, but now I'm neither. Music helped, and public education helped as well. They helped me get out and see the truth and the light. I'm confused about some things because I was taught opposite things in Christian and public schools, but I don't worry about it too much. I participated in 20 formal debates, and I'll debate a Christian next. You know, I thank all those people for their time because they were right about so many things. Eddie Tabosh was an amazing guy. He was actually there for me after the government broke down my door and everybody abandoned me. He replied to my email. Miles McPherson didn't. The James Randi interview was awesome. Debating Feral Tell on the internet was awesome. Dan Barker's informal phone discussion was awesome. The things that these people said, the time that they invested in me, mattered a lot. I still see them in my head. I still hear them. So if you are speaking the truth to a religionist, don't give up. Don't think that the seeds you plant are in vain. You know, they will think about it. Yeah, those seeds will grow. I think America and the planet are in the shape they are in because of pastors and churches in part. And I'll only visit a church again either to debate a Christian or preach on your pastor's sins. I care more about my body than Christians. I care more about the environment than Christians. I care more about the houseless than Christians. You don't need Christianity for anything. Christianity glorifies failure and divides people in stupid ways. Also, Zionism is favoritism. You know, preferring one race of people over others is wrong. Christians justify it, though. They say God chose the Jews. And however, the Israeli government is corrupt and harms its neighbors. They steal land, too. America supports whatever they do, and it's disgusting. The country of Israel is a joke. It's like a dirty, empty Disneyland. These old religious sites are open for tourists, but most people are too afraid to visit. You know, I visited twice, and when I went there the second time, the first time I was with a study group, and when I went there the second time, I only met one other American tourist, and I think one other Canadian tourist, and that was it, you know, in the whole entire place. And we spent 2 weeks there at that time, 1 week in Jerusalem, 1 week around the whole country. So don't think that any investment you make in a church will cause them to help you when you're down and out, because it won't. I've donated to dozens of churches, and while living on the street for 8 years, nobody offered to help me. Not churches, not attendees. Giving to churches is a waste, and they should not be tax-exempt, in my humble opinion. I think Boko Haram originated because of American evangelism in the 1040 window. They don't want to be like Americans, and they've taken up arms to make sure people don't listen to the U.S. The Christian leaders like Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo are corrupt. In fact, almost every member of Congress identifies as a Christian or Catholic. They need atheists in Congress to represent unbelievers. The separation between church and state is awfully blurry. Christians think God curses the U.S. because of abortion and homosexuality. But I think if God exists and curses the U.S., God does it because of their immorality. Their pollution and their disgusting lifestyle is abhorrent. So I stopped calling Jesus Christ. I just call him Jesus. You know, saying Christ is a profession of faith. So I challenge you to have some time alone and to think. You know, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Don't be so heavily invested in anything that it controls you. You know, I remember one of the people I debated said, you know, a lot of pastors are still making money off of their Christian ministry when they get older, and they don't even have faith anymore, but they won't deny the faith because they still make money off of it. And I hope that's not you. I hope that money doesn't cloud your judgment and make you think subjectively, because you need to think objectively. You need to make rational decisions. And it's not easy. You know, it's not easy at all, because it could mean losing all your friends. It could mean losing all your family. It could mean a big radical change. But it's worth it. You know, you have to live with yourself. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. And if you want to find the truth, see, I'm a poet and a musician. And poets and musicians have no use for lies. You know, we pursue the truth at all costs. Nobody wants to hear a song about bullshit and lies. You can't write something moving and passionate and sincere if it's not true. So I thought I knew the truth, and I was passionate about it, and I was wrong. And now I do know the truth, and I'm passionate about it, and I'm right. So good luck. I wish you the best. Peace and shoots.